I think what I wanted to share this morning ties in some sense, to what Tim was sharing, because it's about longing for the Word of God, and one of the themes that's in my heart in sharing these few scriptures I'm going to share, that when the Scripture talks about, as newborn babes, longing for the pure milk of the Word, it's not talking about the written Word on a page. We're not going to come to know Christ in this way unless we devote ourselves to actually spending time and reading His Word. But ultimately, when it's talking about the pure milk of the Word that is going to lead us and cause us to grow in respects of salvation, it's about knowing Christ. It's about knowing God's ways. It's about knowing our Savior through Him speaking to us through His Word. That's what it's talking about. And I think that it kind of aligns a little bit with what Tim's sharing about having that single focus and that longing to know Jesus more, that causes us to spend time seeking Him, to seek Him through the written, through the Bible, through spending time reading the Word of God, so we can know what He's given us in the Bible to understand Him and know of His ways. It's talking about spending time praying to Him and seeking to hear from Him in our hearts, so that we can actually be growing and actually have a longing there. Because I can tell you that when you read these verses, it's not, when Peter wrote this, it's what I'm quoting is in 1 Peter chapter 2. Maybe just turn, then I'll read what I was quoting and then share a little more. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 1, it says, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." So when Peter here is talking about longing for the pure milk of the Word, he's referring not to sitting down and just longing to go and read a letter that Paul has written, or read something that from the Old Testament that maybe they had a scroll. He's not talking about a longing to sit and read. He's talking about a longing to hear from His Heavenly Father, that the Word of God, that Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, would actually speak to his heart and actually make a part of the Word a reality to him, a reality that he can actually grow, that it actually changes him, that it's actually something he can build his life around. It's like something like, yes, I believe that, and that is true. A brother sent us a text this morning about drawing near to God, and He will draw near to us. You could just read that as a point of knowledge and say, yeah, that's a scripture. Or you can actually believe that and says, you know what? If I draw near to God, He's going to draw near to me. It's a promise in His Word. And if we take these things as promises and believe them, it cultivates a longing in our hearts that'll cause us to grow in respect to salvation. And Peter says it's as important as a baby's longing for milk. I have a newborn baby in my house right now. Like, if she stopped longing for milk, literally, I think if it was 6 hours, we'd probably be concerned. Definitely a day. If she did not long for milk for a day, like, this would be a cause of significant concern. We'd be immediately to the doctor saying, like, what's wrong? Our baby doesn't want milk anymore. Like, something must be wrong here, and something I'm sure would be wrong. Peter's saying it should be the same in us. We should have that same longing. And if that longing's not within us, it should be a concern. It should be a concern. And I think the root of that may be some of what Tim said. Maybe there's distractions that have come in. Maybe there's things that are pulling us away that are causing us to not necessarily see the need we have for Christ, not necessarily see how that is where true joy and true peace and true satisfaction comes from. But to the extent that Christ is being placed in the first in our life, to the extent that we're focusing on the one thing that truly matters, and everything else, there can be other blessings, there can be other things that we enjoy. I'm not trying to say that there can't be any of these other things in our life, but if Christ is first, then that longing will be there. We'll have that healthy longing that'll be like a baby longing for milk, that we can grow, that we can have that hunger for His Word. So I just want to read a few verses about that along these lines, just because as I thought about this, it was just encouraging to me to think about this. Let's turn to John 6 first. That'll be the first one we go to, John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, verse 66, it says, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus shared some things that were hard for people to understand about eating his flesh and drinking his blood and having his life within them. And it caused many, it's alarming because it says many of his disciples withdrew. These weren't just those who were there for the miracles. These are actual disciples of Jesus Christ that said, you know what? This is a bit much for me. I'm not interested in this. I don't like this. And they don't understand this. And if I don't understand it, if Jesus isn't going to explain this to me, I'm out of here. This is not for me. Or maybe they just didn't like the sacrifice that Jesus was talking about there. And Jesus asked them, the 12 in verse 67, he said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And I look at that and I think that Peter didn't say that because he understood perfectly all that Jesus was talking about in the earlier part of the chapter. I don't think Jesus said that these other things that are offensive and troublesome to the others, I get them. I understand exactly what you're talking about, Jesus. Therefore, I want to stay. I think he was saying, rather, even if I don't understand it, Jesus, even if I don't get what you're trying to say by this eating of your flesh and drinking your blood, I know that no one else has the words of life. I know there's nowhere else I can go to hear the word of life, the words of eternal life. Therefore, I'm not going anywhere. I'm sticking with you because I know you have those words of eternal life. And I think from my own heart, like that, when I sit down and read the word, like, I'm like, Lord, I want you to speak to me. I want my heart to hear from you. I want to have that hunger for the words of eternal life. I don't just want knowledge in my head. I actually want to hear from you. I want to hear you speak to my heart. If it's to challenge me about things, then so be it. If it's a word that's hard to hear, just like he spoke earlier in the chapter, so be it, because I want the words of eternal life. I want to be hearing from you. And if you have that attitude, if that's our heart attitude, that Jesus has the words of eternal life, and they're found in Scripture, they're found in communing with our Savior, then there's a longing there, because we're going to want the same thing. And I think that any of us, if you reflect, if you've actually had that time where Jesus spoke to a situation where through a scripture or some other means, when the word spoke to your heart about a situation, about how he can help us, how he loves us, how he can help us in things we're troubled with, or even just how we can trust him in the midst of circumstances that are difficult to us. Those are the words of eternal life. Those are what that is when he's speaking to us. And that's where that longing is. Like, I need to have that. And each one of us, we need to have that. We need to have that. I was thinking about the young people. I was thinking about the young people today, because I did not know the Lord in this way until well into my 20s, before I actually started to believe and trust and believe the scripture and apply it to my life and have Jesus start speaking to me the scripture, that the word, when I read it, would be alive and applicable to me. But it doesn't have to be for 20-year-olds. It can be for young people. If you guys take this to heart and say, Lord, create a longing in me for your scripture, not to know it, not to be able to read it and to be able to prove to my parents or prove to others in the church that I can quote lots or I can look up verses fast or just know the Bible well, but actually I want you to speak to me. I want to hear these words of eternal life for myself. Jesus can do that. He can do that. It doesn't have to be till you're in your 20s or 30s. As young people, you can have a hunger for the Word of God. And as parents, that's what we desire. But it doesn't, I just encourage you in that, because I desire to see that testimony. And I know it's there. I know that some of you share verses on Friday nights that have encouraged you. And I just encourage you to keep walking in that. Keep allowing Christ to cultivate that hunger in your life through circumstances, through difficulties that come. That's when the hunger gets cultivated, through things that are tough, when we have to trust him, when we have to make decisions. Some of you are going to places now where you got to make decisions about what to do with your career, what to do with your life. What's the most important thing in all of these decisions? That you make the right decision, that you choose whether to become a mechanic or become an electrician or become a nurse? What's the most important thing in all these decisions? That you draw near to Jesus Christ and you say, help me, Jesus. Point out a path for my life. Help me to trust you. Show me the way. show me how I can start to build my life around hearing from you and learning from you and going through these difficulties and allowing these difficulties to draw me near to you. Because I can tell you as an adult, it doesn't change. When we face difficult decisions, when we face things that are hard for us, what's the most important thing that we, why do they come? So that we can make the perfect decision every time? No, it comes so that we have to draw near to God. So we have a hunger to say, Jesus, I need you right now. I'm over my head here. This is difficult. And that's where that longing can come. That's where that longing can come. That's why the trials and tests come, to bring us to a place where we have that hunger cultivated. So if you pray, Lord, I want to have a longing for your word, as it says, as a pure milk of the word, as a baby, like a hunger. Well, that comes through trials. That comes through tests. And I just desire that for myself and for all of us. So a couple of verses. Let's turn to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23, verse 12. Job says, I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And I like this passage for a couple reasons. We don't know for sure, but I think a lot of people who have studied these things say that Job is the earliest book written in the Bible. So when Job says that, I long for your words, and I've kept his commands. What is he talking about? Is he talking about reading Moses? Is he talking about these things? No, he had a relationship with God where he could hear God's instructions for him. And now we are blessed. We have the Bible. But what is that? God wants to speak to us individually through the Bible to teach us his commands, to teach us his instructions, the way we should live. But Job already had that. And Job was a righteous man, because when he heard that, he treasured it. When God spoke to him, he said, I have treasured the words of God's mouth more than my necessary food. So when God would speak to him, he treasured that. That was precious to him, even more than the food we eat. And I look at that for myself and say, is that the case for me? Is that the case for me? You can think of practical examples. I don't know if they're that helpful or not, but I think it's a great test, a great challenge to us to say, is that our heart, that we long for God's word more than our necessary food? Because that's where Job was at, and he didn't even have the Bible. He didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling him, but he had that, and that is what allowed him to go to a place where God pointed him out amongst all the people of the earth. Amongst all the people of the earth, God said, have you seen my servant Job? And we know one thing about Job is that when God spoke to him, he treasured it. He longed for God's word. Let's turn to Psalm 119, verse 103. The writer here talks about God's word. He says, how sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And I can say that this, if this makes no sense to us, if this is something that seems bizarre, that God's word, like if you could say, like, I don't read the Bible and it's not sweet to me like that, then I say, ask God to make it that way. Because when it's sweet to us like this is when it speaks to our specific need, to our specific situation. When we see, when we have a need of encouragement, when we're discouraged and God's word speaks to us and encourages us in our hearts and lifts us and changes us, then God's word, you can look at it and say, that was sweet. I needed that. Or when we're finding ways in our life where our enemy's able to ensnare us and cause us to come in to discouragement and cause us to stumble, and all of a sudden God's word gives us some light and shows us, you know what? If you choose to walk this way, if you choose to die to yourself in this way, these problems will stop occurring in your life. These ways that your life seems to come off the rails can be avoided And God can teach us that through his word. That is when it becomes sweet to us. That is when it is sweeter than honey in our mouth. We say, God, thank you. Thank you. Your word is true. And if I follow in this, it can change me. It can actually show me a better way to live. A better way to live. Then we'll truly find that God's word is sweet to our taste and like honey in our mouth. And I want everyone to experience that. And I believe many in here have, because I've heard testimonies, but I just for myself, just as reading these passages, I just was reflecting on that in my own heart. Like, Lord, I want to continue to grow. I want to continue to have this longing and hunger for your word. I want it to be real to me. I want it to be real to the young people. I want it to be real to all of us. That God's word is real to us in this way, and we have a longing for it because we believe it and we've seen it work in our lives. We've seen that the word mixed with faith brings salvation. It brings change. It brings hope. It brings lifting out of discouragement. It brings comfort to the mourning. It brings all of these things. You could make a list 100 pages long of all the things that God's word can do when mixed with faith. And we want to have a longing for that. We don't want it to be a dry, dead thing to us. We don't want it to be a routine. We want it to be an opportunity for God to speak to us and help us and challenge us and encourage us. I'll just share quickly that last week I talked about being doers of the word. And I think a lot of what there was good. It spoke to my heart. But I read about the perfect law of liberty. And it says in James that those who look intently, like there's a looking and a searching into the perfect law of liberty, are going to be blessed. And I think when I read this, when I was reflecting on that this week, I was thinking that looking into the perfect law of liberty is twofold. A, it's about seeing the areas where God wants to change us further, because I shared some of those, because I shared about the tongue, the verse that comes right after it. But I think it's also important to remember what the terminology is. It's called the law of liberty, the law of freedom. And the other reason that you look intently into that law of freedom is because of the hope it gives us. Because of the promises that are there, that what you see, if God speaks to us in his word and points out an area in our life where he wants to change us, then know for sure that the promise to change, that the power to change, that the help is also found in his word. And as we look at the law of liberty, a law of freedom that says, don't let your mouth be used as salt water and pure water coming out, and let your tongue be bridled. When we read that in the perfect law of liberty, the law of liberty also says the grace of God can do this. You're not going to do this of yourself, but I'm going to help you, and I'm going to change you, and I'm going to bring about these promises that are in your life. And that is where to me, it all ties together, this intent looking, as it says in James, the one who looks intently into the perfect law of liberty will be blessed. And this looking intently is to see both sides, to see the calling of how God wants us to live, how he wants his disciples to walk, how he wants us to bear his image, but also the promises that are there, that it is by his grace, that it is by his strength, that is through devotion to him that all of this will happen, that's the promises there as to how this can actually take place in our lives. And we need to have both. We need to have both of these in our lives. We need to be able to see God's word, allow it to speak to us and challenge us and speak to us about how we're living and different ways he wants to change us. And we need to allow God's word to always give us hope and to know that there is always hope, always an opportunity for God to come and meet us where we're at. That wherever we're at, his word promises us that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And there is hope in his word. And if we hunger and long for it, he will be giving us that hope through his word, encouraging us in this walk, while he also shows us the way we ought to walk.